The gospel lesson for this Sunday. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying,
"This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them."
So Jesus told them a parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father,
"Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me."
So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said,
"How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'"
So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him,
"Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his slaves,
"Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found."
And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied,
"Your brother's come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he's got him back safe and sound."
Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father,
"Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him."
Then the father said to him,
"Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of God for the people of God. Thank you to my fellow readers this morning for bringing that story to life for us. If you were here the first Sunday of Lent, you may remember the story I told about the young man who was traveling alone on foot in Glacier Bay, Alaska, a national park, a vast, pristine wilderness that lies at the very northern tip of the Alaska Panhandle. I told this story because following in the long tradition of Lent, we ourselves were about to follow Jesus on his 40-day sojourn into the wilderness. And Glacier Bay is the essence of wilderness. There are no trails. There are no campsites. No quick marts. No hospitals. No clinics. No churches. No schools. No sign of human habitation of any kind. It's just dense, wet forest surrounded by vast, towering, imposing peaks laced with clear ribbons of pristine glacial-fed rivers. I told how early on in his time in the wilderness this young man had managed to get his matches wet, which not only meant that he could not prepare any hot food, he had no fire to warm himself, no flames to give him light and comfort at night. So there he was, alone, hiking during the day in a trackless wilderness twice the size of Delaware, camping at night in pitch darkness, in a forest that is home to at least two of America's most fearsome top apex predators, wolves and grizzly bears. Before he set out on his misadventure, I imagine this young man thought his foray into the heart of Glacier Bay was a good idea. He may also have assumed that he would have a memorable time, that his brave solo venture would prove to be a defining experience, one that would teach him and shape him. Instead, within just a couple of days, he was cold, wet, hungry, and I have no doubt, totally miserable. I would bet that the one thing he wanted more than anything else was to leave this daunting, fearsome, unforgiving wilderness behind and head for home. I say all this again now because I suspect many of these same things could be said about the younger son in today's story. He woke up one day having decided he did not want to wait to inherit his share of the family money. It was time to leave the comforts of home behind and go off in search of adventure, in search of himself. His father's response to this idea proved to be startlingly generous. Instead of saying an immediate and absolute no, his father instead agreed to bankroll this voyage of discovery, gave the son his full inheritance. And so the son sets out on a quest that, in theory anyway, would give him exactly what he was looking for. Unfortunately, and unbeknownst to the young man, this was a terrible idea from the start. Flush with cash, but short on experience, and even shorter on the good judgment that comes with it. It was just a matter of time before his quest for fun and adventure ended in disaster, in ruin, really. In fairness, I have no doubt that the pleasures of the flesh were wondrous at first, that this young man was tasting things, seeing things, hearing things, experiencing things he had never tasted, seen, heard, or experienced before. Perhaps that's why he did not realize how quickly he was burning through his cash. Or if he did know, why he didn't care. He was having way too much fun. But the reckoning came. Within just a matter of weeks, he found himself destitute and far from home, forced to survive by eating food that wasn't even food, just husks fit for the pigs in his culture, the most unclean animal imaginable. He is sad and lonely, suddenly, desperate even. But he's not altogether without hope. Deep in his heart, he knows one thing will always be true, that there is one person in his life who will love him, even in his present state, one person who will gladly welcome him home, even if he is dressed in rags and smelling of pigs. In the story Jesus tells, this person is a human figure, of course. It's the boy's father. But this is not an ordinary story. It is a parable, which is to say, it's a gospel story. It's a story about the kingdom of God, the very nature of God, a story meant to reveal to the world and to us unimaginably good news. So the father figure is not, finally, a human character. Rather, the father figure is, of course, the God who knew you before you were born. The God who wove together the very strands of your unique DNA. The God who knows you better than you know yourself. The God who will always welcome you home, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how lost you may have become, even if you've spent all your money, even if you don't have a penny to your name, even if you're dressed in rags and smelling of pigs, this God will be there. This God will be here waiting for you. That is, of course, the point of this parable. This is not new to us. We know the truth which this story is meant to reveal because we've heard this story and this truth many proclaimed many times before. So now, as we have been doing during our observance of Lent, I'm going to invite us to go a little deeper. I'm going to invite you to go a little deeper. I'm going to ask that you focus in again on the picture on the front cover of your bulletin. Where does your eye go? What is it that you see? Who do you most identify with in this picture? Is it the son down on his knees, pleading for mercy? Is it the servant with his arms full, always busy, always weighted down, carrying someone else's burden? Or maybe it's the brother, pleading his case with the servant, complaining about the unfairness of life, failing to understand the extravagance of God's grace, failing to appreciate that love is not a finite resource, that there is always enough love for everyone. Always. Or maybe it's the father welcoming the prodigal home because you have been that prodigal. You know how it feels because you once were lost yourself and now you're found. You were once lost and you were welcomed home. What is it that you are seeing as you take this story in through your eyes? What is it that you are feeling? what is God's living word to you.